Well, praise God. We had a good last couple of days. Muriel and I celebrated our 25th anniversary, wedding anniversary, so it's good to be able to go away for a couple of days, and praise God for that. And again, it makes me feel older now when I've been married 25 years. I remember when I was a young person, anyone had been married more than I'd been alive, they must be old, I used to think that. It doesn't seem so bad now, does it, when you're getting closer to that? Praise God. Let's just pray as we open the word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that your word is life to us. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you speak to every heart this day. Lord, every heart, Lord, that you'll touch our heart, Lord. Whatever the need is in our life, Lord, that you'll speak to that, Father. But Lord, that you'll speak to each and every one of us, Lord, because you want us to grow. And Lord, we want to grow, Lord. We want to be more and more like Jesus every day. So Father, we commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen. It's good, it's great when we have a baby being dedicated unto the Lord, because that says that there's a life where we want to see God's plan and purposes unfold. But for every one of us, we want to see God's plan and purposes unfold. We want to walk God's way. We want to walk in the will of God. And I want to talk about that this morning, because walking in our inheritance, so important that we know the will of God and that we're walking in the will of God, that we might come into the inheritance. A few weeks ago, we spoke about that that one of the barriers to us coming into what Christ has for us, that he's already given us because of the cross. We talked about some of the things where we allow areas of our life not to die. We were not dead to sin. Remember, Jesus has died, and so there's been a death, and when then there's a death, there's an inheritance. So Christ has died. We have an inheritance that's available for us now. But sometimes we struggle walking in that, because maybe there's a part of us where we haven't let that part die to sin. We talked about that. We talked about some of the external things that maybe would impact us going into that inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ. We spoke about realizing and coming to a different mindset. It's not what you're going through, but it's to know what you're going to. And you don't go through something, you go to something, and you also grow through things. But to understand that, we talked about that, a very subtle but very important mindset. If you live with that mindset, I'm not going through this and I'm going through that, I'm actually going to something, there's a progression in my life and I can see what God is doing. And even though I don't fully understand, I know that God is bringing me something better into my life, and I honor him for that. But I want to talk about God's will. It says in Ephesians 5, 15 and 17, it says this: be very careful. What made you listen, doesn't it, when someone says, be very careful? Because be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what the Lord's will is. And a lot of people agonize over knowing God's will. Oh, is this God's will? Is that God's will? And they make it very, very complicated in knowing God's will. And people agonize over it. Oh, I don't know if it's God's will or not. And should I, shouldn't I? Is it God's will? They make it very complicated. And I just want to explain to us that God's will for our life is quite simple. And knowing God's will for our life is actually quite easy. To know what God's will is, what is God's heart, what is his plan, what is his purpose for my life. Because didn't we just pray that over a little child, that we want to see God's plan and God's purposes and God's destiny, all of those things unfold. Well, some of us are a little bit older than babies now, and we need to be walking in that, what God has for us. But some people really agonize and struggle with God's will. There's one passage I really want to focus on this morning with the time that we have. And that's from Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 to 14, really the substance of really what we want to talk about. This is one of the great prayers that the Apostle Paul prays with a real intensity, crying out. And you know, Ephesians, he prays about us knowing the love of God and to know the depth and width and breadth and how the extension, extent of the love of God. And this is another one of these prayers that Paul prays. And so let's have a look at this in Colossians 1. It says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. And I encourage you to be praying for one another. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Or in other translations it says spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. But they're praying that they might know the will of God. Praying continually might know God's will. Because it's so important that we live and walk in the will of God. If you're going to walk in the inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ, then you must walk in the will of God. You can't be walking in the inheritance that you have in Jesus Christ if you're not walking in the will of God. And so we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through a wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And why? Why do we want to know God's will for our lives? It says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up and say, who wants to live a life worthy of the Lord and wants to please him in every way? I'm sure everyone would put their hand up and say, yeah, I want to please God. I want to live a life worthy. Now, just remember, this is not living this life is not so that we're going to get something. It's because we've already have it. But the reason why we don't always work in our inheritance, what we have in our having Christ, is because we don't know the will of God and we're not walking in the will of God, and therefore we struggle. And if we're outside of the will of God, I guarantee you, you're not living a life that's pleasing God. We can't please God if we're not walking within the will of God. And so we want to know what that is, and we want to know, well, what does that look like? Because I want to walk in the will of God, and I want to live a life that's worthy of what I've been given in Christ, and I want to live a life that pleases God. And I'm sure every one of us wants to do that. That's the kind of life that we want to live. And the good thing is that God doesn't put things on us and doesn't tell us how to do them. He doesn't ask us things and not show us what it looks like. In fact, God is very clear with us, but sometimes we just simply miss things because they're easy and because they're simple and because it's not as complicated as we think it should be. We want to make it. We miss the simplicity of what God has for us. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And then it tells us, what does that look like? What does a life that is flowing out of the will of God? Because if you're in the will of God, things will overflow out of your life. There's an overflow out of the will of God. When you're walking the way that God wants you to walk, there's things that will overflow out of your life. Things of the Spirit will overflow. And it says, this is what it looks like. So they may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Number one, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. Number two, growing in the knowledge of God. Now we're going to break this down in just a minute. But he actually tells us, what does it look like? What does a life look like that's in the will of God? That's living a life that's worthy and pleasing God? Well, I'm growing in the knowledge of God. And I'm also bearing fruit. And we've all got to ask ourselves, well, where am I at these things in my own heart and life? What does it look like? Does my life look like that? Do I look like that I'm walking in the will of God? So it says, bearing fruit in every good work. Again, we're going to come back to this. Growing in the knowledge of God. And then it says about being strengthened in all with all power according to his glorious might. And so there's something about the will of God that when God has a will for us to walk in, God actually doesn't say, well, this is what I want you to do and this is how I want you to live and better go and do it. Hang on and wait back here and just see what you do. He actually gives us all his might, the power of his Holy Spirit who lives and dwells within us so that we're able to actually do that. We can actually live a life that is pleasing to God and is able to be worthy of the calling that we've already been given in Jesus Christ. He gives us the capacity to do that by his Holy Spirit. And so we're strengthened with all power. And he says, the reason why I'm giving you power is so that you might have great endurance. Great endurance. The ability just to keep on going. You just keep on going. You just keep on sticking in there. You keep on hanging in there. There's an endurance that you have. You think of these guys that run these races, these marathon races. Or they walk 50 kilometres. I wouldn't want to be in a 50 kilometre walk. There's an endurance that's required to do that. There's an endurance. A sprint run for 10 and a half seconds or whatever it is, less than that, 9.8 seconds or lower, whatever it is. You run your sprint. It doesn't take endurance. A little burst of energy, bang, and then it's all over. But our Christian walk is an endurance. It's not a sprint. And by the Lord gives us power to keep on enduring. We have great endurance and patience. And a lot of people don't have patience. And I'm not talking about when you're stuck in the supermarket and the person's there and they're going through counting out all the 5-cent pieces. And I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about when you're in the traffic and, you know, it's just queued up and people cutting you off. I'm not talking about that kind of patience. That's just baby patience, really. I'm talking about patience in life that I'm going to keep going because I want to walk and stay in the will of God. A patience, I'll talk about that in a second. And giving joyful thanks. So that's another part, that element of joy in our lives. So important that there's a joy. If we're in the will of God, there's a joy that's within our hearts. And it says, giving joyful thanks. And there's actually a comma there. There's actually a break. Giving joyful. So it's being joyful. And thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and he's brought us into the kingdom of his Son whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so we're already qualified for this inheritance. So I don't want you to think as we go through this morning, I'm talking about these things are a precursor to obtaining something. We've attained an inheritance because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's there for us. It's attained for us. We're not trying to earn anything. We don't have to earn these things that I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is that if we're hearing from God and we're walking in his will, then we will naturally come into the inheritance that he's given us. But we struggle because sometimes we walk outside of the will of God, or else we complicate the will of God and we don't walk anywhere. We don't do anything. We become paralyzed. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Should I do this? Should I do that? I don't know what God's will is. And end up doing nothing. And therefore we become paralyzed and unproductive in the kingdom of God. I just want to bring up this little diagram as we break down this passage this morning. First of all, it talks, don't bring just that for the moment, about God's will. Knowing God's will, and as I said, we complicate what the will of God is. We make it some super mystical, mysterious thing that only if I could hear God's will and then I'll be okay, everything will be fine, I could flow in that. But the scripture makes it really clear. I just want to read very, very quickly. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 12, and this is just listen to this. It says, "For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them?" No one else knows what you're thinking. I don't know what you're thinking right now. No one knows what you're thinking except for you. So who knows the person's thought except their own spirit? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit knows what God is thinking. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And so just listen to that for a moment. What am I saying here? It's saying, okay, I don't know what you're thinking. You don't know what I'm thinking. And how do I know what God's thinking? Well, I need to have God's mind, God's thoughts. And the scripture's telling us is that actually we have the Spirit of God. And therefore I am actually able to hear what God is thinking and what God wants for my life. In fact, it actually is an automatic thing. It's only because our own mind gets in the way. We block that. Goes on and tells us in Colossians 2:3, further on in the passage that we've got, we're not going to have time to read that this morning. But it tells us, that it talks about that all wisdom and all knowledge of God's will, all of that is found in Jesus Christ. It says, "My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so they may have the full riches of complete understanding." I want to know what God wants. "In order they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." If you want to know, have wisdom and understanding of what God's will is, it's all found in Jesus Christ. It's found in Christ. It tells us further on in that passage, it says, "But we have the mind of Christ." And so we are actually able to hear what the Spirit is saying, what the Lord wants for my life, because of Jesus Christ and because of his Holy Spirit within my life. It's not something that I have to reach out and struggle and strain over and agonize, and I've got to spend 6 months of prayer and fasting before I walk out. Should I go to the prayer meeting or should I not go, or whatever? I can hear the Spirit of God if I just have to tune my ear, if I just listen to what God is saying. It's not a big deal to know God's will for your life. Most of what God's will for your life is in the Word of God anyway. If you want to know what God's Word is, do it. The problem is that we hear the Word of God, but we don't do it. How many sermons have you heard in your lifetime? How many messages have you heard in your lifetime? Some of you have heard a lot more than others, unless you're here for the first time and maybe this is the first thing you've ever heard. But for those who've been around for a little while, how many dozens, maybe hundreds, how many thousands of messages have you heard? And how many of those things you're actually doing? And yet we struggle with simple things is because we simply don't do the things that we know already that God has already showed us to through his word. But God will speak to us. He puts things upon our heart. And if my heart is founded in Jesus Christ and I'm listening to him, I'm praying and my heart is open to him, I'm in communion with him. Because it talked about God's will and growing in God's will and to know God's heart and just to listen to God. How much time do you spend listening to God? How much of our prayer life is, God, here's my shopping list, Lord, and here it is. How much of it is just listening to God? Because if we're in Christ and you have the Holy Spirit, you're qualified and more than able to know what God's will is for your life. More than able. There's actually no excuse for any of us to say, oh, I don't really know what God wants. I don't really know what God's will is. I don't really know what he wants me to do. We've got no excuse. It's something that we have in Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit of God, and therefore we're able to know God's thoughts, what God wants for us in each and every situation. We're able to do that. It's a part of our inheritance in Christ that we're walking in the Spirit. We're full of the Spirit of God. And so don't make it a big deal, big mystical thing. Oh, I don't know what God's will is. That's only because you're not listening. It's not a struggle. You don't have to learn it. You don't huff and puff and pray, oh, if only God will show me. God's given it to you. He's revealed it. It's there, each step that we need to take. We might not know the end from the beginning. We might not see everything, the big panorama. We don't see all of the parts of it, the picture that's being painted. We don't see every part of it, the jigsaw that's been put together. We don't see all the pieces. But we know enough. We do know enough to progress along for what God has for us. So don't make it a big deal knowing the will of God. You should know the will of God. If you love Jesus Christ and you listen to him, he will show you his will. Doesn't withhold it. He's not going to hide it somewhere that you have to go looking everywhere. God doesn't play games with us. This is our life and he wants us to walk in his will and purpose. What's a good indicator? We talk about a life, a pleasing life, a life that's worthy of God and a life that pleases God. Let's have a look at that. Just bring that up. So those two things, bearing fruit in every good work, in good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. And if you want to look at your own life and say, well, how am I walking in the will of God? There's a couple of indicators that I'd be looking for in your life. Now, I'm not looking for, I'm looking about my own life. But you look in your own life and say, okay, a part of working in God's will and the overflow of that and living a life that's in God's will, a pleasing life that pleases God, that brings him pleasure, is a couple of things. One is bearing fruit in every good work. Now, it's talking about good work there. It's talking about the work of the kingdom. It's not saying, oh, look, I work really hard at my job. Can I tell you that there's unbelievers who work really hard at their jobs and probably even work harder than you do at your job? And it's not just about, oh, look, I'm looking after my kids and my family, and those things are important. God wants us to do that. He wants us to work hard, wants us to look after our family. But can I tell you that there's unbelievers that are very good parents as well, who do look after their families, who do love their kids, who do actually bring them up with some good, decent values. And yeah, they're probably Christian values that they've learned from somewhere, might not even realize that. But part of a pleasing life is bearing fruit in good work. What's your good work? What's the work that you are doing that's being used to extend the kingdom of God? What work of Christian service are you doing? Are you involved in Christian service? Do you serve, or do you want everyone else to serve you? Because part of a pleasing life is that's part of the fruit of overflowing. I'm involved in serving. I'm involved in reaching out and touching people who don't know Jesus Christ, showing them the love of God. And I don't use other things as excuse. I'm busy with work, or so is everyone in the world. I'm busy with my kids. I don't use those as excuses. Because part of God's will for my life, irrespective, is that I'm bearing fruit in every good work. Now, there are times in lives, there's seasons where maybe, you know, you're going through an illness or something, or there's a circumstances. Maybe there's some times where you need a little bit of time out to recover. But that's never to be a lifestyle. Our lifestyle of one that is pleasing God and flowing in his will is that I am bearing fruit in every good work. What's your good work? And remember, the scripture tells us, Ephesians 2:10, it says that that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared for us in advance to do. You've been made to do good works. You've been made for that. Are you working with your mate at what you're being made for? Are you in the will of God at the moment? Because if you're not bearing fruit in every good work, I tell you, you're not walking in the will of God. It's as simple as that. God made us to bear fruit in every good work. Look at your own life and say, okay, well, what am I doing? Well, maybe you're not doing a lot. And maybe you're doing the things that everyone in the world does. But that doesn't mean that I'm bearing fruit in every good work. The Lord asks that of us. That's what pleases him. It's pleasing to see us bearing fruit. Are we bearing fruit in every good work? What's your work? Are you bearing fruit in that? And the second thing is growing in the knowledge of God. And it talks about the knowledge of God. It's not just talking about facts and information. I know more facts about my wife after 25 years now than when I first met her. I would hope so. But my relationship is not built with facts about my wife, knowing about her heritage and where she's, you know, her family and all the bits of information. The knowledge that I have of my wife is through relationship, intimate relationship with my wife. I'm growing, and I'm still growing in that, still learning and growing. After 25 years, still learning and growing in that. And that's the other indicator in us. Are we growing in our relationship with God? Not, oh yeah, I know a few more memory verses, and that's great, we need that. But most of us know far more than we ever do. And that's a problem for us. We've got a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of relationship. We've got a lot of stuff, but we don't do a lot of things. And are we growing in the knowledge of God? Are we growing in our relationship? Because if you're flowing and working, overflowing in God's will, and then those things are going to happen. You're going to have a productive life. You're going to be faithfully serving, using the gifts that God has given you, administering those gifts in the kingdom of God. You're going to do that. They're going to flow out of your life, and you're going to grow in God. That's what we grow, church. We want to grow in God. But look at your own life. How well are you doing that? How well are you growing in your own relationship with God? Because God is pleased. He's more than pleased when we are with him. More than pleased when we pray. More than pleased when we just spend time with him. That it's the ultimate pleasure for God is to be with you. After all, Jesus died because that's what he wanted. And that's how much God wants that. So that's a part of a pleasing life, that we're walking in God's will. These things will be evident in our life. Look at your own life and you say, well, man, well, look, you know, I come to church and, yeah, I'm growing in the knowledge of God and, yeah, I pray, but I don't really do anything. Well, maybe that's something God's saying, I want you to fix that. I want you to fix that. Maybe you're doing a whole lot of stuff and yet your own relationship is not really there and not really growing. And maybe it's static, but I tell you what tends to happen in relationships don't tend to remain static. They tend to grow or they tend to diminish. And if our relationship with God, and not from God's point of view, his heart's always there ready to embrace us. But for ourselves, if we're not actively cultivating it, it's actually on the slide. But God wants us because he's pleased when we have that relationship with us. But then it talks about the power of God. So, and I'll just bring that up now. If we're going to keep going, bearing fruit in every work and growing in the knowledge of God, then God doesn't ask us of that or want that from us without giving us the capacity to do that. And so it speaks of endurance. Now, endurance is the ability to keep on going irrespective of what is happening around you and what is even happening within you. Because if you're an endurance runner, man, you're gonna face all sorts of circumstances. They don't call the marathon off because it's raining. They don't call the marathon off because it's a little bit too hot today. It's a little bit uncomfortable. They don't call off the marathon because of the crowds or because of the shouting, because of the noise, because of other things. They run the race and then they run it with endurance. And we need to be able to run with endurance. And that we don't make excuses. Sometimes we make excuses for ourselves so easily. And we think, well, I'm not going to do whatever. I tell you what happens when people start to struggle. Now, I'm not talking about we do need time out. Sometimes you might need to take out time out for a time or a season. and that's okay, and that's healthy, and that's right. But for many of us, when things start coming up against us, when the struggle hits us, when we start going through difficulty, what is the first thing that gives? What is usually the first thing that we opt out of? What is the first thing? It usually is bearing fruit and good work, isn't it? It becomes the disposable thing. Look, I'm under pressure, I'm busy, I'm stressed, I'm this or that. And so the first thing, we just put a line through bearing fruit and good work. And then if things go on, then what tends to happen is then we can put a line then through the growing in the knowledge of God. We'll stop coming to church and I'll stop reading my Bible and I'll stop praying. And then sometime then somehow I find myself struggling because I'm not getting the power of God working in my life. And I suddenly find myself in circumstances and how did I end up here? How did I end up doing this? What am I doing here? Well, how did I get outside of the will of God that he had for me? It's because I wasn't running with endurance. And so we need to allow the power of the Holy Spirit. He's resident within us that you don't have to give up. You don't have to throw in the towel when it gets hard. The Lord gives us a capacity far beyond our own human capacity. Every one of us has a limit. You can only take so much. You can only take so much within your humanity. Even Jesus, when he said, cries out on the cross and in his humanity, his humanity had enough, but the Spirit of God was there with him. And then he endured the agony of the cross. All of us have a limit, but the Holy Spirit is going to help us. The trouble is before we come in prayer and say, Lord, I need to tap into that power. Lord, I'm really struggling at the moment, Lord. This race, Lord, I'm getting tired. I'm getting weary, taking a few hits along the way, Lord. I'm struggling so much. But we come to the Lord and allow him to energize. Paul talks about working with the power, the energy that his Spirit provides. Because there's a point for someone who's running a marathon where they hit that pain barrier, but they push through that, they suddenly find there's reserves in there that they didn't know they had, and that's the thing that'll get them over the line. And we need to push through, but more than pushing through, we need to push in to what God has for us, because he's going to help you. He hasn't set you up for things in his will that he wants you to do, and a race he wants you to run, and a path he wants you to go, and wants you to fall flat on your face. He gives us his power to help us. So tap into that. Maybe some that are struggling today, you say, Lord, I really need to tap once again in that power that you've given me that I might walk and remain in your will. What about patience? Patience is when things don't go the way that you thought they would go when you thought they would go. In other words, you've been wanting something to happen for so long and it just hasn't happened. And you thought it was going to happen this way. I thought it was going to happen that way. And you've been hanging on, but it just doesn't seem to be working. And then when we're in that situation again, what we can do is, okay, well, I'm going to cut out the fruit and I'm going to cut out the growing and then I end up cutting out the will of God for my life. But there's an impatience that the Lord can give us. By his Spirit, he enables us to hold on, even when things don't seem to be going the way that we thought they should go. The Holy Spirit will give us that. He gives us the ability to just to keep hanging in there, running endurance, but to be patient, to trust God for who he is. He's not an evil God. Remember, he says, the plans that I have for you, Jeremiah 29:11, we all know it about the plans I have for you to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. It's good stuff God has. And so if you're in the middle of it and it doesn't seem like good stuff at the moment, say, Lord, no, I'm going to stay in your will. I'm going to keep on bearing fruit. I'm going to keep on growing in the knowledge of God. But Lord, I'm going to tap in to that dimension of your Spirit, Lord. Because in my own self, I don't see it. My own self, I'm giving up. But Lord, in your Spirit, I'm going to grab a hold of that. Lord, the power and the strength. And Lord, I'm going to hang in there. And I'm going to keep on being faithful because of the power of your Spirit within my life. And then also there's that element that the Spirit brings in our life is joy. Because what happens is if we're just gritting our teeth and I'm doing work, but it's purely out of endurance, and I'm just gritting my teeth in it, I can find then that I'm actually begin to become religious in what I'm doing. I lose the life of it. I lose the joy of it. Because there's nothing more joyful about knowing what you're doing is in the will of God. Nothing better to know, Lord, you're pleased with that. And the Lord will look down on us this morning and he'll look at you and he'll say, my child, my son, my daughter, I'm pleased with you. I am pleased with you. Just keep hanging in there and keep allowing that to the things of the Spirit to grow and bubble forth in your life, that there's a joy that comes into our heart and into our life. There's a joy within our heart and we can be thankful. Thankful. Be a thankful person, even when it's tough. Even when it doesn't seem to be working. But we're thankful. Say, Lord, I'm just thankful, Lord. I know I'm in your will. Lord, I'm doing what you called me to do. I don't see all the things, Lord, that maybe I wanted to see. But, Lord, I'm in your will. And I tell you what, at the end of the day, that's all that God wants from us. He wants you to do his will. And if we do his will, there is a joy that comes into our heart and our lives. And I encourage you to that, to tap into the power of the Spirit. If you've lost your joy in your life, then I'd get back to square long and I'd say, Lord, I just got to come back into your presence. Allow the Spirit of God just to grow within me, Lord, to stir my heart once again, to rekindle that, to recapture that, Lord, that I can serve you faithfully, Lord, the joy of the Lord coming into my heart and into my life. And finally, we have this inheritance that's in Jesus Christ. And remember, he's won that on the cross. It's only through Christ. The only way any of us here are going to come into God's plan for our life is through Jesus Christ. You can try to do all the right stuff, be a good person. I'm not a bad person, never killed anyone. Fantastic, don't start. But it's only through Christ that you're going to come into that inheritance, which is for this life and also through eternity. And it's something that is for us to walk in now. Remember, as I said, you know, your inheritance comes when someone dies. Well, Jesus died on the cross, that we have an inheritance that we can walk in. And see, sometimes we forget that part of our inheritance is the fruit that we're bearing. Part of our inheritance is the ability to grow in an intimate relationship with our Father in heaven. What a joy, what a blessing those things are, that we can do that. We can know that and we can live in these things. It's not just for when we die and we grimly struggle through life until one day we're taken or one day the Lord returns. But we can live in the blessings of God because God's got a good will and a good plan for each of our lives. And so my challenge for us this morning is, if you're struggling with finding God's will, it's not that hard. It's really not all that hard to find out what God wants. First point of call is always the Word of God. You know, a lot of people saying, oh, should I do this or should I do that? Well, if it's contrary to the Word of God, hello, don't do it. Very simple. Other things that the Lord doesn't play spiritual hide and seek. So, Lord, should I do this? God will speak to you clearly. You just put aside the clutter and say, Lord, just drop into my heart. Lord, just let me know. And God is faithful. He will do that. You have that innate ability because of what Christ has given us. He's given that. And we've got the Holy Spirit within us. We can have the mind of Christ. And as I said, I don't know what you're thinking, but if I had your mind, then I could. And we have, by the Spirit of God who knows and understands the mind of the Father, we can know what God's will is in our life. Bearing fruit. Are you bearing fruit in your life? Yeah, I'm working hard and I'm looking after my kids. Fantastic. And most non-Christians do that. But are you bearing fruit in the kingdom of God? And if you're not, I really encourage you to address that and say, well, I really need to be doing that because God is pleased with that. And it's not that God's going to love me more, but it's pleasing to God. And it's a part of the blessing that he has and part of the purpose he's made me for. So I don't want to miss out on what he's made me for. I want to bear fruit. How's your fruit going? And if you're not bearing fruit, then you really need to look at that. And we'll help you with that. You say, look, I'm not really doing that. Well, come and tell us and we'll help you. We'll show you where you can maybe bear some fruit. Growing in the knowledge of God. Are you growing in God? Your spiritual development is purely in your hands. It's in your hands. You're as close to God now as you want to be. You say, no, I want to be closer. Well, if you wanted to be closer, you would be, because God is the one, he's there. It's only on us. And sometimes we need to stop making excuses and just start running to God with open arms and open hearts and say, Lord, I want to grow in you, with you, Lord. I want to be close to you, Lord. I want to spend that time in praying, Lord. I just want to be with you. And we don't make those excuses. Having endurance. Allow the Spirit of God, don't give up. You don't have to give up. You have the power of God, the same power, raised Jesus Christ from the dead within you. You don't have to give up. You don't have to chuck in the towel. Patience. I've just been waiting for so long. Well, you can wait as long as it takes. because God will do it at the right time. And that joy, if you've lost your joy, I pray that you're going to find something in the Spirit of God today. Rekindle that within our heart, and that we'll be ones who come into this inheritance that we have. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want to pray for us. Very simple solution, if you see yourself struggling in any area, is just to come to God. Come to Him and say, Lord, just refresh me, Lord. I've looked the wrong things. I've dropped the ball. I've looked at the wrong things, Lord. I'm not listening to you. Lord, I want to find that power of your Spirit in my life, Lord. I want to have that focus once again, because we are called to be the children of God who walk within His will and make a difference in this life. So, Father, I just thank you for each of us today. And, Lord, we all want to live a life, Lord, that pleases you, Lord. Lord, we know we don't have to earn your love, Lord. You've already given us every bit of love because of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we know we don't have to earn that. But, Lord, we want to live a life that's in accordance with your will. And so, Father, even as you've challenged us this day, Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to each and every one of us. Lord, because you challenge every one of us, Lord. None of us have arrived. Even the Apostle Paul says, not that I've already made it. And so, Lord, none of us pretend that we're already everything and we're all there. But, Lord, wherever we are, Lord, we want to go closer to you, Father. We want to be more aligned to your will, Lord, and your plans and purposes, Father. We want to walk in that inheritance that we have for this life, Lord, not just when we die, because it already happened. You already took us out of one kingdom and put us in another. And, Lord, we want to walk in the inheritance of this kingdom, the heavenly kingdom that you've placed us. So, Father, I just pray for each of our hearts today. Lord, the areas that you want to address in our hearts, Lord, that you will address. Lord, not that you condemn us, Lord, but you spur us on. Because there's so much that we have in you, such a wonderful inheritance we have in Jesus Christ. And what an amazing thing it is to be flowing in the will of God. And so, Father, we commend ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to you. And, Lord, we just say, Lord, have your way in our hearts again. Have our way, your way in our lives, Father. We ask it this day in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We're going to